Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to Red Sky Radio, the Robin Walters Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Oh my goodness, what a week, what a week, what a week. Oh, man. You know, this is sort of like opening up your report card in school, and you look down and you see an A there in a class that you always got a B in, and then you see an A in a class you always got a C in. Like all of this good news, it couldn't possibly be better. I don't want to get carried away with it, but I sort of do. And we should take the joy when it comes, because the enemy's going to try to undo what was done. But oh my gosh. All right, I just got to get going on this because I got so much to fit in. And it won't be long before some of this is just a bit dated. I do want to touch on some observations from the inauguration. I know it's almost a week ago now. It doesn't seem to be quite as important as it was at the time, but I have to tell you, I watch maybe, let's exclude football, okay? I think I watch a grand total of maybe 4 to 5 hours of TV a month. That's max. This TV was on the whole day. It was on for 12 hours. I didn't watch it. I watched a lot of it. I was working, but the volume up, my ear kind of tuned to it, and there was something that was, it was important. I got there. I did watch the entirety of the inauguration, starting from when all the mucky mucks start coming in, which takes, 45 or 50 minutes. Goodness gracious. And then, of course, the ceremony itself. But I just have to tell you, I thought it was fabulous is sort of understates my assessment of this inauguration. And there were so many great scenes, not excluding, of course, the post-inauguration scene of seeing Biden fly away in that helicopter. I mean, I have a party who rarely listens to this program, but occasionally he does. They sent me a video, a remake. If you know the song Bye Bye Blackbird, I don't know what movie or musical that came from, but it's called Bye Bye Biden. You might look it up on YouTube. I am sure that it's there. And it's hilarious. It is hilarious. It's this big, huge relief that so many people have that he's gone. We couldn't wait to the inauguration. We were praying that God don't let him be assassinated at any time, but certainly not before he takes office. Let him do the work he needs to do and go down at the end of his four-year term when he departs as what we all believe at this point, if he carries out half of what he says he's going to carry out, as certainly the best modern-day president in U.S. history, following the absolute worst president, not just in modern U.S. history, but in all of U.S. history, worse than Barack Hussein Obama. It was just fabulous. But I wanted to say that it was a little bit bland until there was a particular point. And I don't know, maybe it's just myself, but there seemed to be this uptick, a major shift in the spiritual atmosphere in the rotunda when the piano player, there's nothing else going on, the pianist played, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I was fighting back tears and goosebumps at the same time. Now, before that, I forgot what the hymn was. It's a hymn I love. I just can't think of it right now. It was played, and I thought, well, that's great. They're playing a hymn, but that's all farther it went. It's great. They're playing a hymn in the rotunda. When was the last time that happened? But it was followed by Great is Thy Faithfulness. Not only do I love that song, not only have I played it with a guitar and the piano in church as part of a worship service, the message of that song fit the day. God, you are good. You are faithful. You honored the prayers of millions of people. People praying like they've never prayed before, from the J6ers who are locked up to the people who actually don't have much going on that's bad in their life, except that there's a dark cloud that we just continue to observe under this last administration. I mean the military choir singing Battle Hymn of the Republic in the rotunda. My favorite line. He died to make men holy, that we may die to make men free. Oh my gosh. This is rooted in the Civil War, dealing with slavery. And it is such a fabulous song because it reaches across the decades, actually now they're coming up on centuries, plural, of the United States, from the worst to the darkest hour to the light coming with the end of slavery. But the fact of the matter is we have been increasingly subject to slavery in this country in the last 4 years. Can't speak, can't talk about certain things. The persecution by the DOJ against the church, against pro-life clinics, against pro-life protesters. We've become slaves of our own government. So the Battle Hymn of Republic still rings true. It's just a little different twist on it, but it's still really the song of this country. I loved it. And just hearing that male and female choir sing it, they did a great job. Oh, my gosh. Then you had the Italian guy who did the national anthem, like only Italian guys, I think, can do. Oh, man, like having Pavarotti there in the rotunda. He had a mic, but I'm not convinced he needed it. That was great. You had Carrie Underwood, who did a great job, even though there was a technical musical issue in the background that kind of stymied her at first. But I thought if she couldn't do America the Beautiful, what the hey? Hey, she could have just done Trump Take the Wheel. Right? And then Franklin Graham. Oh, my gosh. I just saw him there and I thought, oh, yeah, he's a man. Let it go, Franklin, because he's not going to hold back. And he didn't. He pulled no punches. His prayer was fabulous. And then we get really to the prayerful highlight that Lorenzo Sewell, the Detroit preacher, my gosh, he shot the lights out. He turned the place into a Holy Ghost tent revival meeting with one of the greatest lines of the entire day. That Donald Trump was a beneficiary of the millimeter miracle. Oh my gosh, I loved it. I tell you, I think I said this on the other program we recorded here. This should I ever move back to Michigan? I think I want to go to that guy's church in Detroit. It was this growing spirituality in the room, and it just continued to build. And it actually did not simmer with Trump. I mean, he had made his godly references, but where it crescendoed really and transitioned from Lorenzo into Trump was the fact that Trump then simply spoke in hard and sometimes harsh terms, which was necessary, what he was going to do. And what he was doing was he was calling out all the sins of this nation. Well, not all of them, but most of the sins of this nation and what he was going to do about it. I mean, and then I guess on the lighter side, my wife was saying, I heard Melania's going to wear a hat. I wonder what kind of hat she's got going to wear. Well, that kind of dominated her thoughts. I mean, she's a very intelligent woman, but hey, women are into fashion. We guys, you know, we're stuck in the penguin outfits. We know we got the tuxedos, and there isn't much flair beyond that or that can accompany that without looking inappropriate as a male. But women, boy, you girls get to do whatever the heck you want. And I don't know that I particularly like the hat. Well, I should say, I just wish it rode a little higher on her head so I could see her eyes. She's a pretty woman. She had a very classy outfit. She returned class to the Oval Office. And when you got to the balls, and my wife, who goes, I'm not going to tell you when she goes to bed, but she was staying up late. And why was she staying up late? She wanted to see what Melania was wearing to the ball. And she was not disappointed. Hey, do you know what? Whatever draws people into this administration, Melania is a great asset. And I thought, well, gosh, this is a pretty outfit. I wonder if Vogue magazine, I do know this much, they ripped her off in 2017. They wouldn't put her on the cover of Vogue. Jealous, envious, hatred that was just a derivative of the hatred that they had for Donald. So we'll see. We'll see if she makes the cover of Vogue. And actually, I'm spending too much time on women's fashions here. So let's move on to something. I'm going to get back. I'm going to get to what Trump said. But I have to precede this with 30 minutes before he started speaking. And that, of course, is Joe Biden's pardons. Now, the left is going bonkers over Trump's pardons of 1,500 people who never killed anybody. But you got all of Biden's pardons that he's made, child rapists, murderers, and the left wasn't concerned about those. The left doesn't. Left is concerned about Biden's pardoning of his family, the J6 committee, and all of this stuff because it looks horrible. It's sort of like Joe said, you know what? I got to do one more thing to make absolutely sure that I am the most corrupt and contemptible and worst president in the history of the United States. I know I will preemptively pardon the J6 people and all of my family. Well, not Hunter, but he already did that, right? And why? Let's just ask a simple question. Well, why would he pardon his family? Because they are the ones who are the recipients of the cash regime, that he had going in that whole scheme and collaboration with China. Because all these gazillions of LLC and corporations where money was being diverted to family members, but never quite directly to Joe. At least in that makeup, he stayed away from it. I mean, I loved what the Babylon Bee said about it. They had the comment. It said the head of the Biden crime family warns about corruption in the government. And that's what he had said, right, in his speech the week before. He warned about the corruption in the government. And here he is preemptive pardons for all the family members. Gosh, who have I left out? Ali Ali Oxen in free, right? Well, I don't know that it's going to quite work out that way because I want to take a little time on this topic. And I'm going to give you my insight. I love constitutional law. I have practiced a little constitutional law. The problem is you can't make money practicing constitutional law unless you work for some nonprofit organization which is dedicated to practicing constitutional law and is supported by contributions. That was not I. I did work for the American Family Association for 2 or 3 years in my spare time, and I loved it. I love constitutional law, but here are my thoughts. That, first of all, the Supreme Court has never ruled on the constitutionality of a preemptive pardon. They never have ruled on it. So whether any of these are valid is an open question that needs to be pursued, and it can't be pursued without yanking one of these scumbags into court and challenge the pardon, the validity of the pardon, as part of the crime for which they are then being investigated or indicted, actually, that they're going to claim, well, presidential pardons. No, the pardon's not valid. And let that puppy go, get rejected by various courts, get it up to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court can rule, is a preemptive pardon legal? It's not said in the Constitution what you can and you can't do. There's no guidance, but we have history in that it has never been done before. And obviously, why would you accept a pardon if you weren't guilty? Right? Well, you take the Fifth, everybody who takes the Fifth Amendment, we know they're guilty. It's just that they don't have to indict themselves. So we're going to save all the Biden family from all of the crimes they participated in, and we're going to let everybody off the hook. I kind of tell you, nobody sucks more than Joe Biden. I can't even think who it is. Sorry, Barack, you're no longer at the top of my list. You're second. Well, maybe you're falling below that, possibly. I'm praying for you. I've quit praying for Joe Biden. No, I can't do it anymore. Sorry. I think the man's committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and it's time to just knock off the prayers. God said in four places in Scripture, he's told people not to pray for others. And you have to know in your spirit when you're told not to pray for somebody. Why? Because God knows it's a waste of time, because he knows that person's end, and he knows that person isn't going to change. Hard guy, aren't I? But here's the deal. So why, consider why the Supreme Court would overrule the pardons. Well, it's not specified exactly what they're pardoning. You see, when a pardon is invoked on a person who's behind bars, we know what the crime is. We know what they're being pardoned of. Pardoning is something that is in hindsight. You look back at a situation. This is not that. You're looking forward to something that's undefined. So on the assumption that there's a federal law that's being violated from, what are they pardoned from? We don't know. So-and-so gets drunk in a national, drunk driving in a national park. Is he pardoned for it? If one of these family members shoots and murders a federal employee, a federal crime, they pardon from it? Are they just all in free for the rest of their life? I cannot imagine the Supreme Court holding up these pardons. I can't. All the crimes in the future, are they exonerated from those? They're free of those things? Well, you know, Fauci's out saying, well, he's questioning, he doesn't know why people will consider him guilty if he accepted the pardon. Because you don't accept a pardon unless you're guilty. If you're not guilty, why would you take the pardon? Let them arrest you, and your innocence is proven in court. A fair trial, something where you Democrats never gave Donald Trump. You see, this is what the Democrats are afraid of. They are absolutely scared out of their wits that Trump might do to them what they did to Trump, and that is act unfairly. Well, fact is, if they committed crimes, they should be held accountable. This isn't revenge. This is justice. What's that old thing from the left? Justice delayed is justice denied. Why don't we employ that this time? It's been delayed already long enough. The J6 committee ripped those people off and screwed them like you can't believe. No trials, locked up. There's so many constitutional violations in that. And that's 4 years ago. So, yeah, it's been delayed a long time. But it's not revenge. It is justice. Next thing, this is a sort of a tactic I thought of. So you don't challenge the pardon directly. One of the scumbags who doesn't get pardoned is brought up on charges. Then you subpoena one or more of the scumbags who did get pardoned, who have some connection to that indictment. You see, they aren't pardoned from having to testify in a case not of their own. So you drag them in. And they go and they violate the subpoena and then haul their sorry butts to jail. But pull them up with a subpoena, have them testify, and get scarily, scarily close to their own behavior as part of that testimony. And then you bring on the other witnesses and you crucify, I don't want to use that word, you beat the snot out of the scumbag with the testimony of somebody else who then proves the scumbag to have committed perjury, federal perjury, and they go to jail. The pardon will not cover perjury. Does he say, I there's a pardon for all these people, including perjury? Do you think the Supreme Court would uphold a pardon for future perjury, undefined crimes? I can't believe they possibly would, because there's going to be new crimes. Well, yeah, like I said, Fauci is kind of upset because he just thinks it's unfair to him. Unfair to you, Fauci, who are kind of the core of lying and enriching yourself at the expense of people, the pharmaceutical companies, and frankly, some that are dead as a result of your lies. You see, this is a deal. These people who've been pardoned don't believe in the justice system. They believe in the corruption system. And so the last thing they want to do is to be held under scrutiny in a possible indictment for their corruption. The last thing they want to do is be actually held under the microscope of true justice. True justice is their undoing. True justice means they go to the hooskow, hopefully for life. And in the case of Mayorkas, he's guilty of treason. And so I'd like to see what Congress determines is that proper punishment. There are various ones from time in the slammer, up the river, the big house, the joint, whatever you want to call it, all the way up to capital punishment. Depends what Congress decides. But to this point, Biden's pardon for Fauci is not going to stop congressional investigations. It just is not. There is so much Congress can do. And I mentioned this last week, but it's worth repeating. I do not want Donald Trump bogged down in going after these people. Do I want these people gone after? Yes, absolutely. Justice delayed is justice denied. All right? I'm starting to like that expression. Well, that's up to Pam Bondi, Department DOJ. Trump gets down to business going forward, negotiating real estate deals like picking up Greenland and what have you, and strengthening our military and all of the things that he talked about and promised. And it's promises made, promises kept. That seems to be his motto and his goal. And God bless him for the tenaciousness of that man. So I want him looking forward as to what he can do to right this country from its wrongs, from a matter of policy. I want Pam Bondi to be the one who looks backwards and provides justice in this country for the corruption and the theft of assets, Goodness sakes, you know what? I got to stop with that. I got too much else to cover here, but I trust you get the drift. All right. Next thing that I want to do here is I want to give what is not a such a brief overview of the presidential executive orders. I fell back into my own, terminology. It worked its way into my lexicon, and it came out because everything Biden did was an executive order, not an executive order. Trump was an executive order. Let me get that straight right now. But I'm going to go down this quickly because I just don't have, there's so much I don't have the time, but there's things that people do not know about. Many you probably do, but at first he signed an executive order. I love this, to withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Agreement. Too bad, you Green New Deal schmucks. We aren't paying a stinking dime into this thing. We aren't going to cooperate. We pull out. We are no longer a party. And don't you look for one more Benjamin from us into your coffer to do this to the world. He declared a national emergency on the southern border. He designated criminal cartels as terror groups. He signed an executive order to bring an end to birthright citizenship for children born to undocumented parents. Now, this case was going to the Supreme Court. There's no question about it. 22 states have already sued Trump already to declare this executive order unconstitutional. There is a strong argument for what Trump has said he's going to do to be valid in certain circumstances. It's a lot of detail. I love the constitutional law part of it. I just don't have time for it today. After coming back into office, obviously he's pardoned what? We're up to 1,500 people who were charged with a boisterous riot in the rotunda in the Capitol. Well, they all were charged with it. They all didn't participate in it. That much we know. He signed the order, which I love this one, renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. That is a T-shirt I am going to buy. I cannot resist it. Sort of makes me want to go look for a condo in where? Destin, Florida, so I can look out on the Gulf of America. Yeah, baby. All right, well, he's reinstating the name of Mount McKinley. Now, this is getting people worked up. I do not know why. Mount McKinley is in Alaska. It's the highest mountain in the U.S. It was named in 1917 for William McKinley. Well, yeah, the left thinks he does it shouldn't be McKinley because he never visited the mountain. Well, how many people were going into central Alaska in 1917, just when World War I was breaking out, much less the President of the United States? Well, the fact of the matter is McKinley was assassinated. Does that really have any connection with Trump here, the assassination attempt? And it was Obama that arbitrarily changed the name in 2015. So guess what, Brach? Checkmate. Trump is naming it back to what it has been in honor of William McKinley, who was assassinated. All right. I think I mentioned the bill about the cartels. We did that. We have the revocation of any active or current security clearances held by former intelligence officials involved with a political coordination with the 2020 Biden presidential campaign. I'm going to read that again when we get back. There's a lot to pick up. Do not go away. I'm just getting rolling.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Okay, so why am I playing that song today? Well, who were the Democrats at the inaugural? Well, you had Bill and Hillary, right? You had Joe and Dr. Jill, right? We had Obama. We didn't have Michelle, but in absentia, we're going to simply make her part of the deal. And you have Kamala and the second gentleman. Is that what he's called? The sexual harasser known as second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. So you got 8 Democrats lined up there. You divide 96 tiers, which I just played, by 8. You got 12 tiers for each of them. That's 6 per eye. And they shed them all on Inauguration Day. I played that song in honor of all those that were tear-jerking there on the left. All 96 tears, 6 tears per eye from those that we are not sorry to see go. All right, back. I'm going to read that last one again because it's kind of long. But you've got to understand the revocation of any active or current security clearances held by former intelligence officials involved with the inappropriate political coordination with the 2020 Biden presidential campaign. And there are other ones he's revoked. John Bolton, it's been revoked. We talked about the pardons, but a presidential order to re-evaluate United States foreign aid. I love this. Nobody's talking about it. Everybody wants to talk about paying your fair share. Well, come on. France, England, Germany, Ireland, Spain, Netherlands, Canada. Come on. Pay your fair share to NATO. Why do we carry everybody's load in this world? Time to reevaluate it. It's time to cut the allowance from all of these little kid countries that are now grown up, but they're still getting an allowance from daddy here, big U.S. sugar daddy. I love that. That's going to get reevaluated. Declaring a national energy emergency. Restoring accountability for career senior executives. Ooh, I love this. There are going to be so many people who quit or get fired, or they're going to quit before they get fired. They're just hanging around. I mean, the thousands of people that have lived off sucking out of a government pig trough. It's time for this accountability to start trimming the fat off those pigs. Yeah, baby. Restoring the death penalty. It has its place. It absolutely does. It's biblical. Not going to go into when it's biblical. That's for another program, but we're restoring it. Clarifying the military's role in protection of U.S. borders. That's great. America First trade policy. It's going to benefit American workers now and manufacturers and farmers and ranchers and entrepreneurs. And people like me and people like you. Fabulous. Love this one. A hiring freeze for federal civilian employees, though that's not applicable to military personnel of the armed forces or to positions related to immigration enforcement and national security or public safety. I love this. So there's a hiring freeze on all the loser government agencies and departments. Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't apply to the things for which, amazing, the U.S. Constitution actually states what are federally related tasks. The military, the hiring freeze doesn't apply there. Guarding our borders doesn't apply there. National security, it doesn't apply there. You see, the federal government really only has a couple of tasks, and they're outlined in the Constitution. And it's grown like a beast to absorb and take over and consume all these other roles otherwise and previously the duty of and occupied by the states. Next, are we having fun yet? The Department of Government Efficiency Creation, which you know about. I've talked about it before. I didn't want to leave that out, but it required an executive order to create it. Love this one, pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement. Maybe I may have mentioned that. I'm not sure. And pulling the U.S. out of the global corporate tax deal secured by Biden. Now, I got a couple others I just want to share here. I think it's really cool here that in revoking the security clearance of former officials or that signed the Hunter Biden laptop story. In other words, those that were participants in signing the memorandum dealing with the fact that it was a Russian news story, fake news story from Russia, a Russian hoax. Anybody that participated in that, their national security clearances are all being revoked. This is how you drain the swamp. This is what you do when you have learned some lessons from your first term in office. This is what you do when you've had 4 years to actually find out who hates you, just how much they hate you, and what they want to do to you because they hate you so much when they think that it's an impossibility for you to get reelected. That's why Chris Christie, it's why Nikki Haley on the Republican side, the pack of rhinos that are not roaming in Africa, they're here in the U.S., why they will not get any security clearances and will forever be barred from any meaningful position during the Trump administration and if Vance or other, some other good MAGA Republican follows them from that administration as well. Oh, boy. It's just, this is almost more than I can absorb. But moving on to Trump. Okay, Davos, Switzerland. I have said DeVos most of my life because I grew up around Grand Rapids, and Van Andel and DeVos were the two founders of Amway. But I've been saying it wrong for a long time and finally corrected my lexicon on that one a couple of years ago. But Davos, Switzerland is where all the mucky mucks all over the world, George Soros and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, they all go there to figure out how they can control the world so that they can eat ribeye while we eat bugs and things like that, and how we have to lose our gas appliances even though they keep them. It's the elites telling the slugs and their presumed slaves of the world what they have to do because they know better. It's elite crapola on steroids. That's Davos. Now, they've all heard what Trump is going to do. But now, they actually heard it from Trump himself. Yeah. He's got his meeting, the speech. The Americans have been fully briefed on Trump's agenda for America. You know, no more DEI. Get rid of that crap. That's out of government. That's another executive order. the executive order, there's only two genders, really only two sexes, what it should be. Male and female, that's what God created them. Because we know that beyond those two genders, all the other genders were invented by Democrats. They've heard about drill, baby, drill. Davos attendees, of they're reading the news. They know about Biden's weaponization of government, DOGE, the two-gender crapola. But now the elites from around the world are gathered at Davos, Switzerland, for an economic conference. And Trump was there to deliver the news. Want to hear a little bit of it? You want to talk about speaking truth to power? That's not a left-wing expression anymore. Well, as he got there, he talked about the hiring freeze for the federal government. He talked about the Department of Government Efficiency, assigned to root out and eliminate wasteful spending, eliminate corruption. He said, quote, "I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam." He's saying this to the most powerful people in the world. Said, "We withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord. We ended the insane and costly electrical vehicle mandate." Now understand, everything he is saying are things that everybody at Davos would give their eye teeth to implement, because it's all about control, control, and control. Trump went on to say, as these people are twisting in their underwear more than Joe Biden was twisting in his underwear during the inauguration, and boy, was he. I think both he and Kamala probably also wet their pants during that, but let's not digress too far. He said, quote, "We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency." That's so important. National energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. These other people who want to squeeze the oil companies out, I'm sure glad I didn't sell my oil and oil-related stocks. He said the U.S. has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we are going to use it, because it will cut the costs of goods and services. He said, cutting costs for Americans is one of my agenda points, as consumers saw inflation beyond 20%. He said America will soon be a manufacturing hub of the world. This is Barack Obama. You remember when Barack Obama said, well, forget about those manufacturing jobs. They're gone for good. What a loser. What an incompetent bozo. Well, I love the next one. I didn't include this in the mandates, but it just popped into my head, so I'm calling it the next one. He's mandating that federal workers return to in-person work. None of this at-home stuff where we don't know what the heck you're doing, where you're probably fixing brownies while you're supposed to be doing this, or you're out practicing your golf swing in the backyard while you're supposed to be working. No, you get your federal butts back in the office. Now, that alone could be one of the biggest swamp-draining executive orders that he laid out. Oh, my gosh. It's just fabulous. Well, I'm not done. You think he's done? He's never done. No, he's going to continue here. I love this executive order. Now, well, wait a second. This is actually not technically an executive order. This is an order that now was given by Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. Having been sworn in, having been approved by the Senate, he's now the man in town in the State Department. He was never a rhino. I didn't like it when people said he was. He was not and is not. But this is what he's done. a new policy that effectively blocks U.S. embassies and outposts from flying the queer flag and the Black Lives Matter flags. Done. No tranny flag, no queer flag, no Black Lives Matter flag. All the flags that should never have been on the sacred flagpole of the U.S. government outposts and agencies. The Washington Free Beacon reported this, that they've adopted the one flag policy with two exceptions. It permits only the American flag to be flown at U.S. facilities at home and abroad. The two exceptions are the MIA prisoner of war and MIA missing in action flag and the wrongful detainees flag. In other words, two flags that actually fit with the American flag. Two flags that say, hey, we don't forget. We will never forget, and we're going to do everything possible to show you why these flags are dear to us. So the order said, starting immediately, only the United States of America flag is authorized to be flown or displayed at U.S. facilities, both domestic and abroad, and featured in U.S. government content. In other words, so stuff going out from the government, no more queer flag stuff and BLM flag stuff on papers or documents or brochures coming from the federal government. That crapola is done, violated. Get your tush out of town and go work for the Democrat Party. They're the ones who have been basically paying you anyway. Said, quote, the flag of the United States of America is the one flag that can unite all Americans. That's interesting, because the others were divisive. Black Lives Matter says that other lives don't matter. Queer pride, why take pride in that which God calls an abomination? Why take pride in sodomy when God calls it an abomination? They're divisive. The only flag that has the potential to unite all Americans, as it continue on here, under the universal principles of justice, liberty, and democracy, is the American flag. These values, which are the bedrock of our great country, are shared by American citizens and have been shared both past and present. This is the kind of president that we have. But I want to go back to something, and I want to finish with something that just sort of delighted me. In a way that it caught me by surprise. I listened to all of the, and it was on CNBC, although I think C-SPAN also covered it. And, you know, kind of God bless C-SPAN and CNBC, because they did not cut in. And they didn't have the talking yin-yangs. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's Fox or Newsmax stations I like, who think that they have to talk over the action. Why are you talking over the battle hymn of the Republic? Why are you talking about over the national anthem? Why are you talking over somebody's prayer and you got to chime in on some of this stuff? Little tidbits. Just shut up. You aren't the most important thing. We're trying to listen. And checking other channels, it is the press conference, if you will, in the Oval Office later that night, after Trump has already had a 12 or 13 hour day, that he's doing, signing these executive orders before he heads off to three inaugural balls and three more speeches. After all, he's can't miss that dance with Melania, his beautiful wife, while a man sings the battle hymn of the Republic. They dance to it. I will tell you, it's that song's been in my head all week, except I have to confess that, not that I'm trying to remember the version they played, but all I can hear is Elvis Presley's version, which was remarkably close to what that guy, or whatever they were playing that night. But I've digressed here a bit, because In the Oval Office, I saw something people don't see. People, we don't get to see it, in part because Biden didn't ever let anybody into the Oval Office to witness his bozo brain mentality. Barack Obama didn't do it, didn't want people to know what he was doing, but not Trump. So here he lets in, you don't see the reporters, so you don't know how many there are. But the Oval Office isn't huge. And I'm going to guess by the different voices, male and female, I'm going to guess maybe a half a dozen, maybe as many as 10, but I don't think more than that. Peter Ducey was obviously one of them. And we got to see Donald Trump work. Not give a speech, not attending rallies, because that's all we have seen. And I understand it. That's all that could be shown. Well, it wasn't shown by MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS. And which is one of the reasons people said it was too political. But people needed to hear what he's been saying for actually many months, if not years, but all the mainstream networks didn't get to hear it or wouldn't show it. So as they suppressed it, this is why he nailed everybody on the left inside that rotunda, so that the world got a chance to hear what he's been saying for a year and a half, and the left gets to hear and be outed as to what they have been doing while, like I said, they sat there and just wet their pants while he was talking. But we never got to see Biden work. Well, because he didn't. He was in a beach chair in Delaware. We didn't get to see Obama work because he was too busy golfing and going on apology tours throughout the whole world. But we got a chance to see Donald Trump work. He was there signing these, and he'd just say to the guy who was holding it, "What's the next one?" "Oh, this is dealing with the southern border." "Oh, that's really important." So he's signing it. And the reporters are asking him questions. I can't multitask. Most guys I know can't multitask. Trump multitasked better than most women. And they've formed the art of that deal. He was answering questions while he's doing the orders and talking and conversing with the guy who's giving him the orders. It was so casual. It was so likable. And he would say, "Well, Peter," I will use Peter because it's the one that I know was in the room. He said, "Well, Peter, we said this and this is what we did, but it wasn't well accepted, and I don't understand why." And he'd go on, he would give these very thoughtful and articulate, calm explanations as to everything people were asking him. And he was switching back and forth. There were a few that tried to ask a question at the same time, but somehow he heard both questions and would answer both of them without the second one we're having to repeat it. I saw something in Donald Trump we've never had a chance to see. He really, truly is brilliant. And yeah, we only see him talking, so we think that all he does is talk. And yeah, there's a narcissistic streak in there. But this guy is a fabulous listener. And the reports that I'm reading about, people are stunned at how much he listens. Even Joey Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, said, "Well, he actually listened to us." Bill Gates came out and said, "The man's a good listener. He's got some good ideas. He listens." And you saw it in working time there. This is how the man works. How many other presidents have ever done, after the festivities on the night of the inaugural ball, what this man did? He is a man for this time. I can't imagine where we would be without him. God raised him up. And so the question is, did God put this man in office? Did God ordain him to be president? I am coming out with an unequivocal yes. you want to hear more about why I say that, be sure and listen to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter this week, because that's what the entire half hour is about, is God's selection and the clues we have from Scripture as to what God does and what he tells us about as to why certain people are being selected for the job. If you don't do anything else here today, go on YouTube and just type in Trump signs executive orders in Oval Office, and you'll get to see firsthand the man that I hope you were part of selecting as the 47th president of the United States. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. I love doing this program. I hope you appreciate it. Remember, you sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand, a brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.